Hello and welcome to another Gaming Gang Extra, sponsored by Victory Point Games, where the game plays the thing. This time, Jeff and I are talking with Anton Torres from Fantasy Flight Games about Star Wars, Dust, Rex, Elder Sign, and a whole lot more. Plus, Steve Horvath, VP of Marketing Communications, stops by to say hello. It's all coming up on this Gaming Gang Extra.
I'm standing here talking with, this is Elliot, and Jeff's here too.
Yeah, so it should be we're standing here, but that's okay.
We're standing here talking with Anton Torres from Fantasy Flight Games. Anton, how's the show been going so far?
It's been a glorious show. This has been a fantastic showing. Attendance is up. The crowds seem excited. We've had the full demo tables this whole weekend. I mean, it's Saturday, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
So for two and a half days, I have my voice, and I'm alive and breathing. It's a success.
Very good. Now, I know I saw Elder Sign here yesterday. It's gone today. And
you decided not to sell it anymore? What happened? We have sold through. We have sold through every copy of Elder Sign that we were lucky enough to fly in. So I'm sorry, Elliot. You will not be leaving with a copy of Elder Sign today.
No!
I know. But it will be hitting retail in the next month.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent. Now, I also saw that you have the Adventurers, the Pyramid of Horus.
Yes. Yes, this is the second game in the Adventurers series. AEG published the Temple of Chak last year, where you're running through. It's the first 15 minutes of Indiana Jones or...
Similar.
Right?
Yes. Okay. Got a boulder.
Pyramid of Horus sets greedy treasure hunters in an Egyptian pyramid filled with mummies and crocodiles and all sorts of unnatural Egyptian curses while stones are falling from the top of the temple. It's got a lot more freeform. You have a lot of room to explore. You're not running down one single path. They've got new characters and new skills that people are going to love. So, yeah, we have that here, and that debuted at Gen Con as well.
Excellent. Now, what else have you had debut at Gen Con?
Well, we have Rune Age, which is our deck building, our entry into the deck building category. Asymmetric factions, so four very different playing starting decks and pools of cards to purchase. And then a shared center collection of cards. And one thing that makes Rune Age unique is that it's a scenario-based deck building game. So rather than just abstractly gather victory points to win, it depends on which scenario you play. The end game conditions, the winning conditions vary from a cooperative game to a very aggressive competitive game and everything in between. There's an event deck for each scenario, so there are game events that will unfold, and it offers a bit of narrative. It offers a lot of a theme that is tied to the mechanics. It's very, very fun, and that's set in the world of Runebound and Descent. It's the world of Terranoth.
Right, right.
We debuted Gears of War, the board game, which is a first-person shooter on a board as a cooperative game for 1 to 4 players. So it takes all the tension and all the camaraderie and teamwork that's required or that you live through in the digital version of Gears of War and translates that into a remarkably challenging cooperative board game. The Horde is driven by card AI. It's a very clever artificial reactions that the Horde will smother you with. I don't know.
I was going to ask, because you said, Anton, that it is a first-person shooter.
Yes.
Board game. So does that mean I have to lay my head on the board and put it like right behind my figure so it's like my viewpoint?
There is no line of sight. Jeff, you can lay your head on your board whenever you wish. Most other players will use...
That's a personal private thing.
There you go.
I don't want to get into that.
Elements of cover is important and line of sight is important, but it is played on a board. Mm-hmm. And all the missions, the maps are developed randomly every game. It scales from 1 to 4 players. So if you're playing with 4 players, the baddies that are out, the Horde figures are going to vary in very different ways. And there are multiple scenarios. Really interesting and really fun and really furious. And there's no player elimination. So the worst is that you're bleeding out, which means you're crawling one space at a time, right, waiting for another team member to rush over and stand you up and cover fire and protect you long enough to get back in the game.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And we have a lot of video gamers that are realizing now that there is another medium for this entertainment.
course, sure.
Now, I did take a quick peek. I haven't seen in great detail Gears of War, but I was taking a look at some of the figures. They're very impressive.
They're fantastic figures. Thank you.
Well, I'm the miniature guy.
All right.
And that's why, we're going to talk a little bit about, like, Dust Tactics coming out. And I saw Rex looks awesome. With the ships. But I'm getting ahead of myself real quick. Mm-hmm. But I did actually just recently have my first opportunity to see the models and figures in Dust, the Dust Tactics line.
Sure.
I'd never seen them up close.
Awesome.
Unfortunately.
What do you think?
Well, I was disappointed that people were playing with them unpainted, because I think that defeats the purpose of playing with miniatures, but I thought the detail on them was very sharp, good quality, because they're plastic figures. They're not the softer plastic that you paint it and play with it and the paint's all going to come off. So I was very, very impressed. So
awesome.
It was excellent.
Well, thank you. We were delighted to get Dust Tactics onto the into our catalog last Gen Con, and we released a core set. And it made a splash, but over time, as we've released units every month, almost every month since then, and expanded these forces, and people have begun to see the scope of what's been developed and what our goals and intentions are, we've been thrilled. I play it every week. I'm a miniatures gamer that is looking for something that can play in 60 minutes, where I can teach a new player and actually have them enjoy the game. The minis are pre-assembled and pre-primed, so if you're not a painter, they are color-coded to faction.
Right.
If you are a painter, you literally can paint on top. They've got painters at the office that no one has primed their models. So it's not colored plastic, it's primer.
Right.
And if you haven't taken a look, anyone listening isn't here at Gen Con, but we've just debuted some of the walkers that are going to be released in Wave 4.
Yes.
Some of the heavy walkers, they take up four squares on the board, and they're phenomenal models. I mean, people are going to really be stunned when you see these. That's a fantastic line. Now, Dust Warfare
is going to be a rule book. It's a hardcover book coming out.
Yes. That will take and effectively unlock the world of Dust Tactics and allow you to play on a tabletop terrain board. So if you love the rolling of the dice and measuring with tape, and you love, if you're a hobbyist and you have a terrain board, you have somewhere to play, you prefer that level of depth that you can get in a freeform environment, these same models and every release that we've ever had and everything that we're going to have is playable on both. So that rule set, designed by Andy Chambers of Warhammer 40,000 fame, will allow you effectively to get two games from one set of models.
Right.
Best of both worlds for me.
It's going to free gamers up from the hexes and things like
Absolutely.
That. They're going to just be able to freeform whatever kind of battles they want.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that. When is that coming out?
That should be quarter four of this year.
Okay.
So late 2011.
And Steve Horwath just walked up. How you doing, Steve? This is the Gaming Gang podcast.
Hi. It's Star Wars.
Yes, Star Wars. You guys have the Star Wars license to produce board games, role-playing games.
Card games, role-playing games, and miniatures games.
Right, excellent.
And the first two games have been announced. One is X-Wing, which is a tactical starship combat dogfighting game that we're demoing today.
Right.
Today we have X-Wings, funny enough, and TIE Fighters out on the board fighting out. The game will be available in early 2012. Currently planned right now, the starter set would come with one X-Wing and two TIE Fighters, and then there'll be plenty of expansions to add to your fleet. And we'll eventually be releasing more ships along the way, too. As you can imagine, there's a lot of ships in the Star Wars universe to choose from.
Of course.
So, and then the other one is Star Wars the Card Game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a living card game. It's cooperative. It's for 1 to 4 players. So you construct a rebel cell trying to oppose the Empire while you're protecting your hidden base.
Excellent. Yes, I'm looking forward to both of those, especially X-Wing, because I played X-Wing way, way back. And it was a little, from LucasArts. Oh, classic. Yeah. TIE Fighter.
Yes.
Love TIE Fighter.
So a lot of that stuff that you loved about that kind of those intense dogfights that you're going to see here, you watch the people demoing the game, they're just so tense about who the next shot, and if they can get in position, can I get a target lock? It's very fun. Very fun.
Very good. Very good.
Now, you've made some other announcements here at Gen Con for some upcoming titles as well. Am I correct? We have Wiz War.
We do. We do have, yesterday in the in-flight report, we announced Wiz War. We announced Rex, finally. People have been waiting for that for a long time. And Descent Second Edition.
Descent Second Edition.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of people are looking forward to that, I know. There are a lot of Descent players out there. One thing we're big fans as far as with Fantasy Flight is that there's always something new. There's always something in the hopper. There's game companies out there that make great games. And then we sit here and, thank you, Steve. And then we sit here and we think to ourselves, okay, when's our next great game coming out? Well, 2 years later. Okay, excellent. Well, I forgot who you guys even are. Whereas Fantasy Flight, every week, I mean, we have a hard time trying to keep up with your news.
It's true.
And we're a very busy company.
Of course.
That is really pushing the boundaries of what's possible. It's a tremendous operation. It's driven by very passionate individuals that are doing something that they really love. We try to make good business, but we come from a point of creating games that we really love to play. And at the end of the day, we hope we can find players or locate the players that will love those games. Mm-hmm. So we don't always release things that everyone enjoys, but that's what we do. It really comes from the heart, and we seem to have struck a nerve.
And yes, you do have a passionate fan base.
Absolutely. Here, Gen Con is such a pleasure because we get to meet them face to face. I don't get a lot of names, but I get to share and talk about and direct people to things that they knew about or they hadn't heard about or that they were searching for forever, and really give them experiences or help them find experiences that they're going to enjoy with friends and family. And
right,
you know, it's great to see so much attendance here at Gen Con. This hobby is growing.
Yes,
so
it is.
It's
right. Regardless of what people have been talking about, the death of board games and role-playing games for 25 years. There's always somebody being Chicken Little saying the sky is falling. Oh my gosh, now we've got iPads and we've got the iOS game, so board games are going to die. Never. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Board games have been around for hundreds upon hundreds of years, thousands of years. Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's board games that we don't know how to play. I believe, is it Set? There's an Egyptian board game that no one knows the rules to, and no one ever will.
The hieroglyphics weren't included in the box.
That's true. Oh, where's the FAQ?
Right.
So this is part of human culture, and video games are wonderful.
Sure.
And movies and digital media is wonderful, but it's just an experience. It's a medium through which you experience something. And board games, whether it's cardboard or cards or plastic or metal, figures or whatever, it's something that a group of individuals or even a single person can arrive at some experience that they're looking
exactly
for. It can be exciting, it can be mysterious, it can be imaginative, it can be, you know, adventure, it can be just managing a factory. I mean, it's just whatever you want to do. This is something that I'm glad people are finding, and I'm glad you all are here to help get the word out, and even though I am evil, someday I will put you on.
You should know by now. I'm the guy who's the wiseacre.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
It's all good.
One last thing before we wrap this up.
Surely.
Now, Anton, I do believe I've run across where you're going to re-release a Game of Thrones board game. And I know a lot of people are really excited, except for people who already own the game, because some of them now feel that it's not worth as much as it once was.
It's not worth $200 now.
So, I mean, did you want to apologize to those people who are, you know, like banking on their retirement funds for that game?
Well, I will hold that apology. I will say this. A Game of Thrones, the board game, is something we published many years ago. Mm-hmm. We've been working with George Martin. We've been working in that in the world of Westeros for many, many years. And we fell in love with it long before it was on anyone else's radar. So now that HBO has been so successful translating that first book, and the response of the fan base has been phenomenal. So,
of course,
we've had that in the works. The timing was such that we are playing with a prototype version of it here. Anyone who enjoys Game of Thrones, who hasn't played our card game, the Game of Thrones LCG or Battles of Westeros, which is a tabletop miniatures, Hex-style commanders on the field battle game, may enjoy a Game of Thrones the board game where there's diplomacy and intrigue and you're mustering forces, but it's from 10,000 feet above the continent.
That's very
high level. So three to six players.
Yeah.
But the components are spectacular. The artwork has all been refreshed. I mean, the artwork is all new. The map is spectacular. We've got new pieces and new cards, and we've included some of the best elements from the two expansions from the first edition of the game. So we're working to make this a definitive edition of a Game of Thrones, the board game, and we think people will love it. And I do apologize if anyone feels that it has devalued anything
they previously bought.
I know that the original games are just as fun to play, and this is going to help expose the game to many new players, and that's exactly what we want to do. So,
and maybe those new players would be interested in the collectability of that first edition, so maybe the value will go up.
There you go.
All right.
Well, Anton, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Elliot. Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
Thank you.
There you have it, another Gaming Gang Extra. This time, it was Fantasy Flight Games' Anton Torres. Stay tuned for more Gaming Gang Extras from Gen Con 2011. Sponsored by Victory Point Games, where the game plays the thing.